Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is there any good news in this world? Yeah, a little bit. This is Wretched Radio. Before we dive into the big ball of twine that the world has woven together in an effort to untangle the confusion that exists on our planet, I'd like to share with you something that may be of interest to you. We don't do this often here on Wretched Radio, but because I think this is a big deal, you especially might want to know about this. Our good friends at Masters University contacted us and said, just thought wretches might want to know, they're giving away 5 full scholarships, full tuition, to Masters University. Free. Might want to take advantage of that. Wretched.org/scholarship. Wretched.org/scholarship. That is a big deal. Incidentally, they're also giving away 50, count them 50, not 5, 50 other scholarships that are significant. So if you have been looking to possibly attend what I believe is evangelical Christianity's premier university, this might be the chance. Education, whether it is private or public, it is costly these days. This is an opportunity for you to go to Masters U. So skedaddle to wretched.org/scholarship. Make it fast because I do believe that they are closing this up relatively soon. I just found out about it. If I had known earlier, I would have told you. Just found out about it. So please get to wretched.org/scholarship so that you might possibly be one of the 55 people to take advantage of what they are graciously offering. Little bit of good news in a world that, well, it's not bubbling up with joy these days, is it? And the church is dealing with an awful lot of challenges. This is something that has been bubbling underneath the surface now for a number of years. It really revealed itself about a year and a half ago, give or take, when there was an MLK 50 conference that surprised a lot of people because the Gospel Coalition was the promoter of it. And suddenly, the issue of social justice came roaring to the forefront of the evangelical conscience, and the dialogue began. And now, because of what is going on in our culture, specifically with George Floyd, you could also say Ahmaud Arbery also really ignited the fuse again. The church is confronted with these issues. Our concern at Wretched Radio is not what is happening with the conversation out there. At this moment, our issue for this conversation is not the issue of George Floyd. It's not about the riots, the looting. It isn't about any of those issues. It's not about individuals' personal stories, everybody's beliefs. None of that is in view. What we must get a handle on is what is being imported into the church to ask, is it compatible with the Bible? And we need a judge on this. We absolutely need a referee. If you haven't noticed, the conversations that we're all supposed to be having are pretty tense, or they're pretty guarded, or they're pretty limited because the chess pieces on the table are just, they're set up for a conversational checkmate. And we need something to enter into these conversations to say, that ain't right, that's correct, that's a problem. Who is our referee? The Bible. What do we need our Bible to judge at the moment? It's something called critical race theory. This is the mechanism that is being used predominantly to bring about something called social justice. What is social justice? In a nutshell, when everything gets boiled down, social justice is an adjective affixed to a biblical word, justice. social justice, when you boil it all down, would be equality. A redistribution, not just of wealth, power, privilege, absolute equality for everybody. If that smells a bit like Marxism, it's because it does have roots there. Critical race theory is the mechanism, the arm that is used to bring about that social justice. And if we don't understand what this mechanism is, it is going to make its way into your church because it is most likely right now. And if it is not bubbled up in any way, shape, or form in your church, it's only because right now your pastor is trying to figure it out. And honestly, at this moment, perhaps, no, there are better men than me, but this is hard. This is confusing, complex, difficult, tender stuff. And the person who says, no, it's 100% like it's a hunt. No, I got it totally. I am not that confident in my ability to figure out this God-sized ball of twine. And so we are going to try to figure out terminology, language, what is being brought into the church, and ask the question, is this really a helpful analytical tool? Is this really something that we can put on top of our Bible as a hermeneutic to understand what we're supposed to be doing in our current culture? Is critical race theory something that the Bible, our referee, would say, yep, you are welcome to the conversation, or would the Bible say, stay out, not welcome here, not needed? That is what we need to figure out. If you have been hearing a lot of language being used that sounds very similar, you hear things like systemic racism. You hear words like white privilege. You hear white fragility. And you wonder, where's this coming from? How does this work? And the answer is philosophy. If you studied philosophy in high school or college and you thought, well, this is just highfalutin stuff, it doesn't ever get to my street. Oh, yes, it does. It can start in places like, I don't know, say, Frankfurt. And it can make its way then into academia where it is taught. And then those people grow up and they implement that worldview. And so it is. That is what we are seeing with critical race theory. If you recall, courtesy of Neil Shenvey, Dr. Neil Shenvey, he's a chemist. The marks of critical race theory, everything is group. It's not individual, it's all group. Black, white, rich, poor, male, female, sexual issues, what? It's all group. Not your performance as an individual. Group. Furthermore, hegemony is a big deal. That despite your size as a people group, the people who are in power, imposing their power, that is a bad thing. And in our culture, it is believed to be white males. Pragmatism. The goal of critical race theory is to be pragmatic. We've got to free the oppressed. That is the preeminent goal. Furthermore, we make our case not through reason, but through story. Furthermore, we have the ability to hide oppression under the guise of objectivity. And finally, intersectionality is the way that we measure who the most oppressed people are. That is critical race theory. In a nutshell, the question before us now is, so is that a problem?
The most fundamental problem with critical theory is that it functions as a worldview. A worldview answers basic questions about life and reality. Questions like, who are we? What's our problem as human beings? What's our solution to that problem? What's our primary moral duty? Critical theory answers these questions with a meta-narrative, a story arc from creation through fall, through redemption, to restoration. Who are we? Well, we're the creatures of a good and holy and just and loving God. What's our problem? Well, we've rebelled against that God. What's the solution? Well, God needs to rescue us from outside. He needs to redeem us from our sin. We are helpless in ourselves and will one day be restored to God and to each other. That is the meta-narrative, the story arc of Christianity. Well, critical theory tells a very different story. There is no creation element within contemporary critical theory. That's very important. Our identity is not primarily as God's creatures vertically, but as members of various social groups competing for dominance, right? What's our main problem in life? Not sin, but oppression. Certain groups have used their power to subjugate and exploit other groups. The solution? Activism. To either throw off the chains of the oppressor or to ally yourself by divesting of your own power and privilege to promote and lead to the goal, which is equity or liberation or social justice. So these two ideologies offer extremely different answers to our basic questions, and that's a problem.
It most certainly is. Who are we? What is our problem? What's the solution? What is our duty? What is our purpose? What is the goal? The Bible answers those questions one way, critical race theory another. Question: if a worldview, which is what critical race theory is incompatible on those foundational levels with biblical Christianity, should it be welcomed inside of our church? Should the ideals it espouses be embraced? Is the terminology that is used based on this worldview accurate, or is it actually harmful? To answer that question is the debate of our time, and it is an answer we must find next on Wretched Radio. And in the meantime, while we in the West are still experiencing struggles and challenges courtesy of COVID in Eastern Europe, the effects have been even more profound. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's continuing their great ministry work in European countries.
Right now, Tomorrow Club leaders are putting together more than 2,000 care packages to deliver to the neediest families in the towns and villages we serve. The packages will provide enough food for a couple of weeks, basic food items like buckwheat, macaroni, rice, canned meat, oil. There's even a package of candies for the kids and, in some places, seeds for the garden. And because most of these packages will be going to unbelieving families, along with the food items, there'll be a simple gospel presentation.
Would you please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs at this time? Wonderful gospel ministry reaching the poorest of the poor in Eastern Europe. Please learn more. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate that you choose to listen to Wretched Radio today. And thanks for your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, and your wretched stories. We do love hearing from you. If you would like to get a hold of us, idea@wretched.org or Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP for a voicemail. Let me share one from the mailbag. Hello, Wretched. Thank you, Todd and everyone. Almost a year ago, I stumbled across a wretched video on YouTube and my world took a huge turn. I repented and came to true saving faith in Christ. Every single day I listen to Wretched Radio and find so much helpful information and even a sense of community. Thank you for all you do. Thanks to our gospel partners for making stories like that possible. If you are able, after taking care of obligations to family in your local church, would you join us as a gospel partner? Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound, it feels so financial, so cold, so detached, so permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabella.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means the Lord comforts, brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes: repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Does the church open her arms and say welcome, or close the doors and say stay out? This is Wretched Radio. Critical race theory, highfalutin philosophy, has made its way down to the streets, and it is making its way under the doors of our churches, and people are embracing it because there is so much about it that seems to be persuasive. And this is not to determine whether or not there are indeed injustices in our planet. This is to determine, is the philosophy that seeks to address those injustices biblical? We are to be defenders of the faith. This is when it gets pretty challenging. A very complex worldview says, we want into the church. And right now, a lot of pastors are saying, welcome. I'll preach you from my pulpit. And we need to analyze, what is critical race theory, and should we be importing it into our conversations? If you recall, Dr. Neil Shenvey, chemist, encourage you, go find his name, S-H-E-N-V-I. He has done many reviews on books that are being used inside of churches under the guise of let's have a conversation, but it's really not. It's more like we are going to overwhelm you and tell you why you need to embrace critical race theory. Foundationally, it is at odds with biblical Christianity. Who are we? God's creatures. Not according to critical race theory. We are members of groups. What's our problem? Well, you think it's sin. Critical race theory says oppression. Wait a second, that is a sin. I know, but that seems to be the only sin. And that is the thing that needs to be rectified. Not people being reconciled to God, but the oppressed being removed from that position and elevated to an equal level with the oppressor. What is our solution? Christians say Jesus. Critical race theory says liberation. What is our duty? The Bible says to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not according to critical race. You liberate the oppressed. What's our purpose? Glorifying God or working for liberation? That is why critical race theory is at odds with the Bible. And as we have these conversations, and the Christian should be willing to say, oh, well, we're absolutely willing to have conversations, but we're going to have a referee, and it's going to be the Bible. And any term or language that gets used in these conversations is going to be put under the scrutiny of Scripture. It's not simply going to be welcomed and accepted. Why? Because it's not in alignment with the Bible. Dr. Neil Shenvey talking about the problems of critical race theory compared to Christianity.
Normally, when people make a claim about the truth, make a truth claim, we ask, what is your evidence for that claim? We ask, what is your reason for believing that? What's your argument? What's the logic behind it? Decades ago, C.S. Lewis christened another very popular but fallacious way to approach truth claims. He christened it Bulverism. Bulverism takes a truth claim, and instead of talking about the evidence for the claim, it shifts the discussion to the person who's making the claim, their identity, their motivation, their hidden agenda. Why would you say that? Oh, it's because you have this goal in mind, right? It shifts the discussion from the evidence and the argument to the person's motives. Well, critical theory does a very similar thing. It bypasses the question of whether the claim is true and shifts the focus of the discussion to the claimant's group identity. If the person making the claim belongs to an oppressor group, the answer is easy. You say, oh, of course you'd say that. You're just trying to maintain your power or privilege. But what if the person making the truth claim belongs to an oppressed group? Well, in that case, you can accuse them of suffering from internalized oppression. You say, oh, you've been so immersed in the dominant power structure that you're unable to even recognize it. You're just parroting back their ideas. But in neither case do you have to either examine the evidence or argument or reason or even scripture. That's very dangerous, because if a person from an oppressor group says, I think that view is unbiblical, you can dismiss them as trying to maintain their power. If someone from an oppressor group says, I think that idea is unbiblical, you can say, ah, you have internalized oppression. For example, if I say, I think abortion is immoral, they say, oh, you're a man, you're just trying to control women's bodies. If my wife makes the same claim, they accuse her of having internalized oppression. Do you think that homosexuality is a sin because you're homophobic? You're trying to maintain your heterosexual privilege. Do you think that men should be elders only? That's because you're trying to preserve your male privilege. And it goes on and on. Now, the primary concern for people who've embraced contemporary critical theory is not appealing to reason or to argument or evidence or even to scripture. Their primary concern is unearthing and deconstructing the hidden motives behind those truth claims and then ignoring them.
Does that sound biblical to you? Is that the way we go about the business of trying to figure out the motives and intentions of people's hearts? Can an individual even know their own heart? Not according to the Bible. It's deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? We need something to guide us to know what is right or wrong, good or bad. That is the Bible. With critical race theory, it is story based on who you are and your position in the social structure. So if you are oppressed, what you're saying is correct. If you're an oppressor, what you're saying is wrong because you're simply trying to maintain your power. Does this sound like something that should be welcomed into the church? Another problem with critical race theory.
Critical theory assumes an adversarial relationship between different identity groups that is profoundly antithetical to Christianity. Critical theory depends crucially on differentiating between victims and victimizers, right? Men versus women, people of color versus whites, etc. If there were some fundamental identity marker that unified people across lines of race, class, and gender, that would deeply undermine the entire project of contemporary critical theory, right? Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, Christianity gives us not one but three such ideas. All human beings share solidarity in first creation, second sin, and third redemption. All of us, number one, are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity and possessing of value, right? That unites people across all these lines. We're all, number two, fallen in sin. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore share a solidarity, what Wolf calls a solidarity in sin. And third, we all need the same Savior. We all need redemption found only in Christ. So those three doctrines of human solidarity deeply undermine racism and sexism and classism and critical theory, and for exactly the same reasons.
And that is yet another reason why importing this language and accepting the conclusions, not to say that they could all be wrong, but to accept their conclusions based on an unbiblical filter and system is to actually invite more confusion than clarity. Wait, there is another problem with critical race theory, which, if you recall, is all about overthrowing, denouncing the hegemony. Hey, this people group that's in power, we can't have somebody in power telling us what to do and conforming us and holding us down.
Contemporary critical theorists tend to problematize and reject hegemonic power. They see singular narratives and singular sets of values as oppressive. Is that a problem? Well, yes, because the Bible is nothing but one gigantic, colossal hegemonic discourse from start to finish. It's a story about how God justifies his own complete sovereignty and power and goodness. It tells one true story of religion, one true story of morality, one true story of sexuality, one true story of gender, and so forth. To critical theorists, that is wildly oppressive. So do you see why we can't possibly marry this singular narrative given to us by the Bible with the approach of contemporary critical theory? It's not going to work.
This is lemon juice and milk. And this furthermore, if you think that you can keep the authority of critical race theory separate from the Bible and simply use it as a helpful system for understanding the world, I would invite you to try that in your bathtub. Make sure you just have hot water in the front and cold water in the back. You know, the air conditioning system in your car, don't we all laugh about that? The driver, they can set their temperature at 68. The passenger at 70. As if somehow there's a mysterious wall that keeps the temp. They don't mix and mingle. It doesn't become 69 in the cabin. No, no, no. It stays 70 on one side and 68 on the other. Doesn't work that way. And the same thing is true for critical race theory in the Bible. What do we do with this? Might I suggest something that maybe will sound a wee bit extreme, but it shouldn't be biblically? If I said to you, now just hang in there with me for a moment. If I said to you, we're going to bring in some helpful ideas from Karl Marx, you'd say, well, no, we're not going to do that. But there's some helpful things. No. But we've come up with some conclusions that really, no. If you did that with any sort of fascist book, well, it can be helpful. You'd go, no, we need to reject not only the system, but we need to at least at first reject its conclusions. And I would suggest we reject the language and the terminology, all of it, and simply start speaking, thinking, criticizing, analyzing with nothing but our referee, the Bible. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Important dates in Christian history. Henry VIII's Act of Supremacy makes the king, not the pope, head of the Church of England. While Henry's concerns were largely political, his Archbishop, Thomas Cranmer, worked to mold the Anglican Church into a thoroughly Protestant church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's get practical, practical. I want to get... is Wretched Radio. Boy, it's a... They don't write them like that anymore now,
do they? It's a good thing.
You know, that song is, okay, slightly less filthy than the music today. But nevertheless, there was another song that I was listening to the other day from the 70s. Somebody was playing it in their office because 70s ain't exactly my favorite music. And the lyric, I was listening to the lyrics, you don't when you're a kid, which mom and dad might be a wee bit of a comfort for you if your kids are listening to some garbage that you hear it and you go, ah, I never heard this stuff when I was a kid. Now I hear what they were singing about in the 70s and it's like, are you kidding me? That isn't subtle at all. Yikes. So let us get practical, practical. I want to get practical. What do we do when people in our church want to deal with the issue of racism in society? What are some practical things that we can do? First of all, I might suggest this, that we start by remembering society is not our primary concern. Right? I just think that we need to get really church-like at this moment. And we need to deal with ourselves first. Let's not worry about what the pagans are up to these days, at least not initially. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't care, but we have a greater care and concern about the fidelity of the church and the faithfulness to the Bible, how we treat one another. So right away, I would just suggest don't accept the terms. Again, this is not to deal with the issue. And again, the caveat, this is not any sort of commentary on what's happening in the world. This is to try to deal with this issue that we are being confronted with in a biblical way. That is our primary concern. Are we protecting God's word? Are we behaving and thinking this through like Christians? So perhaps we stop simply accepting the terms to go, now, wait a second. We need to build this like Christians. So let us start there. We're going to have a uniquely Christian conversation. And it might be helpful initially to not be having the conversation tainted by all of the actions of what's going on out there, good, bad, or otherwise. Let them be. That we don't need the world's input. We need the Bible's input. We don't need the latest breaking news story about this person did this, that group did that, which again is language that is critical race theory driven, this group versus that group. I have to tell you, I'm ready to just act if I hear black Christian, white Christian again. Just absolutely, it grates against me. Because this it's not biblical to think in those terms, and it's so driven by the desire of critical race theorists to pit us against one another. And that ought not to be in the church. Now, to be clear, are we supposed to be colorblind? No, we're not. That's just dopey. It's impossible. Of course you see color. Of course we do. Furthermore, God sees color, and God delights in that. And he is the one who brings them all together at the end to go, look at how big I am. Y'all couldn't get this figured out, but I did. Y'all wrestled with your critical race theory and your intersectionality and your social justice. Look, every tribe, every language, every tongue, focusing on one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves color and diversity underneath Jesus Christ. And when we start talking about black and white and make that like the focus and the feature of who people are, this is what our dividing line should be. Saved and unsaved. That's it. There's the two biblical distinctions that God makes. You're saved or not saved. Children of light, children of darkness. Son of God, child of the devil. Period. So let's use biblical language, rejecting phraseology that has just become a part of our common parlance. Now, here's another movement that I see inside of the church, and this is a part of critical race theory, and this is what our world is doing. We're having conversations. We need to talk about this. And that seems so reasonable. And note this, it has its place. I do want to understand you. I would also hope you'd want to understand me. Here's what critical race theory seeks to do, and I think that this demonstrates how divisive this is, and how bad this is, and how unhelpful this is, and even as we talk about it, you have to be so careful because of the way that the terms have been set up in having conversations. The dialogue right now is mostly a one-way street. Now, this is critical race theory, so please hear me well. I am trying to reveal the problem with using critical race theory to figure out issues. I am not suggesting for a moment that people's stories aren't actual. I am not saying that people have not experienced racism. I'm not saying that at all. But here's what CRT does in an effort to have people group pitted against people group. Remember, that's the agenda here. So that's why it's always black Christian, white Christian, male Christian, female Christian. It's all got to be grouped. So here's what happens, and I would demonstrate to you, courtesy of an institution here in Atlanta. I don't want to say the name of it, but it's in Georgia, and it's a technology school. I happen to have their diversity events. Listen for a theme, and I'm going to read almost all of them to you. Starting, it goes back to June 10th. Community conversation. June 12th, community conversation, race dialogue. June 19th, community conversation, leading women, meditation, and dialogue on women and race. Because remember, women, that's another group. That's another oppressed group. So we need to hear their story. July 1, stories over lunch, personal stories on race. July 2, stories over lunch, personal stories on race. It does have part 2, stories by white people, but those are stories of white people who have come to their senses. July 16th, race at Georgia, the conversation continues. July 17th, community group coaching session, how to talk about race. Implicit bias on July 23rd. So these are things, you're being biased, you don't know it, it's implied. Is it actual or isn't it? Inclusive leadership dialogue, July 29th. July 31st, White Fragility. August 4th, Stories We Live Workshop. Do you hear the theme? Stories, conversation, dialogue. It sounds good, doesn't it? I want to understand where you're coming from. And I can dig that, man. But here's the problem. It has an agenda behind it. And it pits us against one another. I want you to imagine this. And again, I want to do this really carefully, which is, again, a reminder of how tender this subject matter is. Let me just use different people groups, okay? Let's use Hong Kong and China right now. Because most likely this program is blocked there. And they can't hear it. Imagine that the people in China got together to have a conversation. And they wanted people in Hong Kong to understand, or vice versa. Use North or South Korea. Use any dynamic that you want to so that we can get this picture. So we'll just stick with Hong Kong and China. And so the Chinese get together with people from Hong Kong to share their stories. And their stories are, probably should do this in reverse, Hong Kong gets together with China to share their stories so that China can start to understand what it's like to be living in Hong Kong. And all they share are personal stories of mistreatment by a Chinese person. So there's 10 stories that night. One person from Hong Kong stands up and says, I was treated like this by a Chinese person. The next one, and I was treated like this by the Chinese. Third, I was treated poorly like this by the Chinese person. Fourth, I was treated like this by that person from China. Mistreatment, mistreatment through anecdote and story. I'm not even saying that those stories are lies. But what is the overall impact? All Chinese people mistreat people from Hong Kong. All of them. And if you don't think you do, it's simply because you're not aware of it, but you do. Furthermore, everybody in Hong Kong has been treated that way by everybody in China. Do you see what that does? And so we need to be careful. I am not suggesting that we do not seek to understand and to try to walk a mile in somebody's shoes. I am not saying that. I am saying be careful how you implement that. Because if it is nothing but mistreatment, 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 the overall impression is all those people, that's all they do. It impugns an entire group, which is what critical race theory is about, and it makes one the oppressor and the other the oppressed. And that sets us up for what? Love? Fellowship? Unity in Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. It undermines it. And so if your church is seeking to understand one another, I say great. But my encouragement would be careful. Do you have an agenda that you are seeking to achieve through by stacking the deck and presenting it in a way that pits people group against people group? Because that is not the way the church should act. This is Wretched Radio. And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
Since Poetry Open Mic Night's been canceled, I thought I'd read you some wretched poems I've been working on. Become a gospel partner. That would be a delight. All you have to do is visit our website. Become a gospel partner. You'd be supporting this ministry if you'll just give to us financially. Become a gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate, or else we make you redo grade 8. Okay, listen, I never promised you'd be great, Wretched Poetry. After all, open mic night was canceled. But would you still please consider becoming a gospel partner? Every dollar you give helps Wretched continue to spread the gospel. But without our gospel partners, well, honestly, there is no Wretched. If you're already a gospel partner, thank you. Please know we are very grateful. And if you're not, visit wretched.org/donate and prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner today. Visit wretched.org/donate.
Hold on to your socks. This might just blow them off. The Masters Academy International, brilliant on every level. There are thousands of empty pulpits around the globe. What have they done? Established mini seminaries, training centers in 16 nations to equip indigenous men to fill those pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. But the Masters Academy International has an even higher goal. This is from Samara, Russia.
The objective is not only to place the preachers of local churches on a biblical basis. The goal is not just to give them knowledge. The highest priority is to change the character, to create a minister of a completely different level than it was before, a preacher of a new generation.
Amazing. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International in their endeavor to do just that? Wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy word to humanity, through which he makes himself known and continues to draw us to himself. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How do we get along? This is Wretched Radio. Forget the world for a moment. How do we Christians deal with one another when we have different understandings about racial issues in our culture? How do we make our way through this? God wants unity. The devil loves division. Critical race theory causes division. I would suggest to you a good place to start is by rejecting critical race theory in totality, losing the language, losing all of its conclusions, and having nothing but a biblical filter. Otherwise, I'm telling you, it will accomplish that which it seeks to achieve. Division. This group, that group. How does our Bible address this? We tend to think about Galatians 3, neither Jew nor Gentile, slave, free, rich, poor, male, female. Consider the book of James. So somebody comes in and they clearly have some money. You favor them. The poor person comes in, here, you can sit at my feet. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's not the way we treat one another. There's no favoritism. There's no shunning based on socioeconomic status. That's not the way we Christians live. We love one another. Why? Because those identities, those markers, they are external signs. They are not the premier issue that brings us together. The premier issue is Jesus Christ himself. And so those distinctions, while they still exist, do not cause us to like one more than another, favor one over another, render a verdict that is different than the other. That all goes away. Critical race theory seeks to deepen those divisions. And that is why I'm choking on the adjectives, white Christian, black Christian, rich Christian, poor Christian. Wow, are we just playing right into, in my estimation, the devil's hand when we do that? Perhaps a place to start is by rejecting CRT and all of its language and conclusions, not because we're not going to deal with the issue. We're just going to deal with it as Christians. How do we treat one another when we disagree? How are we going to do that? You're going to be in church, and you're going to be having these conversations, and you're going to be surprised that there are a number of people in your church who don't agree with you. It's always a bit of a shock, isn't it? What? They don't all agree with me. But you're going to run into people whether you're woke or you think somebody needs to be woke, there's going to be a divide. Critical race theory, yep, it's a helpful analytical tool. No, it's absolutely not. You're going to have differences of opinion. And it's going to make its way into all kinds of issues these days. How are you going to get along? Might I suggest to you that your determiner of whether or not you have fellowship with people in your church is not over social justice? I know that's kind of hard because it seems that there's a certain type that tend to be more drawn to it, and it causes a great deal of suspicion. I understand, but that's probably a two-way street. They can't get why you don't get it. And so it is, we are set up for what? Division again. Well, how do we deal with this? Might I suggest it starts with patience? That we're patient with one another? That we're not going to persuade everybody immediately on the spot by sending one article that really, you need to watch this video. This is good. Now, this is just going to clear you. This is going to get you straightened out. No, probably not. I think we need to be patient. I think we need to be loving with one another. And I think there's plenty of opportunities for that, aren't there? For instance, there was an article that was written in a ministry you probably like. You probably like that ministry. Not going to say what it is because that's not the point. There was an article that was written called More Christian Than Black or White. Now listen to some of the language in here. You're going to hear critical race theory. Given how long African Americans have been silenced and marginalized in American history, many have often felt as if they're constantly fighting to be seen as equals. Statements like, I'm more Christian than black or white, while true, sound patronizing when they aren't nuanced. In other words, because generally speaking, race is more a more pressing reality to blacks than whites, please recognize that it's harder to say I'm more Christian than black than I'm more Christian than white. If you're going to tell ethnic minorities that Jesus comes first, please remember that unrepentant slaveholders and segregationists said the same. So this fellow is saying that, yeah, his Christianity is first, but it's harder as a black man to say that than it is for a white man. How did that hit you? Hold on, it keeps going. A white brother once asked, why do blacks always talk about themselves as a group instead of individuals? Well, probably because of CRT to one degree. He didn't realize that blacks didn't start that. Historically, whites were the ones so obsessed with the color and placement of black peoples. In short, they told blacks, your skin color matters most. But now many white people blame blacks who believe that was a lie all along. A colorful fable told solely so blacks could be exploited and subjugated. All right, that's critical race theory. We've identified that people group as being lesser than so that we can subjugate them, benefit from their labor, because we're superior. So that's critical race theory being expressed from a ministry that is rock solid sound. In fact, in some regards, more conservative than you are, I'm almost certain of it. On some church polity issues, they're more conservative than I am. And they're writing something that is, in my opinion, tainted with critical race theory. And here's another line. There can be no reconciliation without a reckoning. Now, that sentence, standing alone, and even in context in my estimation, that's not a Christian approach. It's just not. In Christianity, the side that's done wrong repents. The side that's been done wrong lets it go, doesn't seek vengeance. That's Christianity. This sounds like something different. There can be no reconciliation without a reckoning. White pastor, this writes. I have to confess that I really don't like these terms. Don't like them. White pastor, I fear you might think that submitting your whiteness to Christ ought to result in deeper racial apathy. You don't think this due to your conscious, deeply rooted racist spirit. Instead, the thought comes from ignorance, from not knowing what you don't know. That's critical race theory. And this is also ethnic Gnosticism, as Vodibachum says. You don't know that you're racist, but I do, and you are, and you're acting like it even though you don't know that you are. Okay, that's critical race theory. This guy who wrote this is in a church and a ministry that is rock solid theologically. Am I going to hate this guy? Am I really going to break fellowship with this guy? I disagree with this particular paper. Now, maybe a conversation would help it to have a better understanding of what he was trying to get at, because it was a bit muddy. But now I'm going to hate this man who would say that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God, fully man, the second person of the Trinitarian Godhead, who came to earth not as a victim but as a volunteer to die for sinners, to receive the full wrath of God, to drink the cup of his fury so that I don't have to, and that through regeneration by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, I can be reconciled to the first person of the Trinity, the second person and the third person, the Godhead, through Jesus Christ alone, revealed in Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. Nope. You believe in critical race theory, I'll have no fellowship with you. The lines that are being drawn. Would like to share another example. I'm going to keep the name of this person out because my point is not this guy. But this particular person, a stalwart of evangelical Christianity for years, kind of quiet on the issue of critical race theory, social justice issues, kind of quiet. You know what I've got right here? I got an article, The Problem with Critical Race Theory. It's just a total denunciation of CRT. Marxist ideology versus Christian theology. A beautiful presentation of the Marxist roots that exist, that are the foundation, the soil of critical race theory, and how that is not compatible with biblical Christianity. And people have been saying, oh, they sold out. Sold out, this guy. Now, it's one article, but I got to tell you, this does not sound like somebody who has become a social justice warrior liberal. Now, not the most prominent article, but it's clear what his position is on the subject. And yet there have been people just, nope, he's on the wrong side and he's out. So somebody that you and I have enjoyed maybe for decades has been tossed out of the evangelical boat. Not over this, Christian, not over this. I get it. So much of this is personal. So much of this is hurtful. So much of this is offensive. So much of this is painful. And the devil would love nothing more than to see critical race theory work inside of the church to divide us into groups, pitting one against the other, cultivating animosity instead of the love that is in the unity that is in Jesus Christ alone. Might I encourage us all, don't let him. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.